Friends, I want to begin this morning with a brief remembrance of those who have gone before us in the faith in this place. I don't intend to rhyme off a list of dates, although taking an interest in our history is good for us to do. And I don't really even wish to begin to name individuals, because in doing so I would be sure to overlook many who deserved recognition. But each of us has a sense of this place as a place of worship. Some of you have lived your whole lives in the faith in this place. And we understand and know that those who have gone before us weren't perfect, but they did form a people who desired to serve the Lord. And those people carved out a path for us. And gave us this place in which to worship as a bequest. And we're privileged. And it's been 173 years since the very beginning of the congregation. And even 140 years that this space around us has served as the place of worship for the Elberton congregation. That's very special. Now, not all of us are lifelong inhabitants of Elberton. And I have to concede that my own association with Elberton in any degree first went back to the early 1990s, when I spent a bit of time around here, and more specifically in the last decade or so. But I've come to love the place and the people, and have counted it a great privilege to be part of this community of faith. And I suspect that some other people whose ties with the Elberton congregation don't go back to their childhood also have come to feel the same way about the place and the people. And we rejoice to celebrate together. And let me say that even if most of your life in Christian community has been elsewhere, we all still have cause to pause and remember with thanksgiving those who have gone before us in the faith, who have given to us a pattern, a sense of encouragement about living out the faith. And we have been blessed. And so, whether your own association with the Elberton congregation has been a very long one, a lifelong one, or almost all of your life one, or if it's more recent, nevertheless, we thank God that He has brought us to this time and this place together. And what I want to do now is just pause for a moment and offer a prayer of thanksgiving in which we can all share for those who have gone before us in the faith and who have opened paths for us to follow. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you. Thank you for those who have gone before us in faith and faithfulness. Thank you for the ways in which they have nurtured us. Lord, we thank you for all those people that you have brought into our world who shared faith with us and who encouraged us and who strengthened us, and with whom we shared in praise and worship through the years. Our God, you have been gracious and faithful, and we praise you. And we ask, Lord, that you will continue to provide people in our world who will so nourish us in faith and help us also to be a source of nourishment in the faith to others who may follow after us. So, Lord, accept our thanks and hear our prayer. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, the sermon theme for today is spiritual power. It's not distinctly different from what we've been talking about in the past weeks. We talked about the church being a visible presence, needing to be a devoted people, needing to reflect spiritual power. These are all, in a way, dimensions of the same thing, but they, in their own way, each invite us to follow along a certain train of thought that makes the picture more complete. The church is a spiritual organization, a spiritual community. It's that primarily, you know. It's not here to militantly change the world. It's here to nurture a recognition and a praise to the Lord. And what gives this community of faith spiritual power? When we talk about spiritual power, what are we talking about? Well, I can't exhaust that for you, but I can offer some suggestions. One is that spiritual power implies persistence through adversity. Going back to the anniversary theme again, you know, surely those first people who gathered together to form a community of faith and to organize worship services in their midst had no idea that 173 years later, there'd still be an Alberton congregation. I'm sure it couldn't have crossed their minds. They may not have even been sure that it would hold together for even a short period of time, because things were in transition, and things were difficult, and things were challenging, and who knew what was going to happen next. Would those who had begun to carve out a living on the land in this place actually make it, you know? Many didn't. Would this be their home for a long period of time or just for a while? Who knew? And surely they walked through all sorts of heartache as well as celebration. Let me point you to the words of the hymn that we were just singing together. I won't read off all six verses, but just some reminder. This is what we offered in our praise to the Lord. These sentiments: Thy way, not mine, O Lord, however dark it be, lead me by thine own hand. Choose out the path for me. Take thou my cup, and it with joy or sorrow fill, as best to thee may seem. Choose thou my good and ill. Not mine the choice, in things or great or small. Be thou my guide, my strength, my wisdom, and my all. That's a pretty large commitment. That trust that whatever life brings along, the Lord will see us through. Recognizing that we don't get to choose always how life will unfold. Oh, it's not that we don't have an impact on how life unfolds. If we do unwise things, we often suffer some consequence that we can take some responsibility for ourselves. But we live life with the perspective that we live in the hand of the Lord. And as life unfolds, we accept that what we are called upon to experience is what the Lord has provided. And we trust Him, and we'll walk with Him through whatever life brings. That too is, of course, what the writer to Hebrews was talking about. You know, that those who had been enlightened, had come to faith, endured a hard struggle with sufferings, and they had persisted because that was their calling. And surely that is a reflection of spiritual power. To know, to commit ourselves to God's way, trustingly. Of course, given our own instincts, we wouldn't choose the difficult. We wouldn't choose the painful or the sorrowful. But we accept that the Lord is there and loves and cares for His people and does not abandon them. And so we do not abandon Him. That's part, surely, of spiritual power. Another aspect of spiritual power, it seems to me, is prayer. That we live as people who pray. And we talk a lot about prayer here, and so we should, because prayer is at the heart of our relationship with the Lord. It's at the heart of how we live through adversity. It's how we see life in relationship with God. It's how we exercise ministry through prayer. It's right at the center of everything that we are as a spiritual community. And one could easily say, without the practice of prayer, without the commitment to prayer, there would be no real spiritual power. And so let us strive to keep a commitment to prayer central to our sense of community together here in Christ in Alberton Church. Spiritual power also, of course, involves somehow or other representing the faith, modeling it, living it, Because the faith we profess is not just a commitment made in words, but it's a commitment that we, yes, profess our faith, but then aspire with God's help so to live that the lives we live represent Him. You know, there's a line that appears in the bulletin every week. I don't know whether you notice it or not. You know me, and I say in my cynical moments, if you want to keep a secret, print it in the bulletin. That's in my sometimes frustrated moments when it seems like people don't read what's there. But this is something that is just there in front of us week by week. I don't think since I've been here that there's ever been a Sunday that this hasn't appeared in the bulletin. It's that little line, reflecting God's glory to others. A little statement of action that this congregation at some point in its history adopted goes back before my time. Reflecting God's glory to others. And that's part, surely, of spiritual power. That we see ourselves as having a commitment and a responsibility to represent not ourselves, but the Lord. And to do so in such a way that His name is glorified. And so, maybe to humor me next week when you come in, your eyes will find those words in the bulletin and you will be reminded of our commitment together. And of all the things that might be said about spiritual power, I only add one more this morning. And that is that our spiritual power involves understanding that our power is from on high. And I take you back to Luke 24, where Jesus was preparing the disciples to wait. It's kind of strange, it seems, in the context, you know. Jesus had announced to his disciples that their task was to take this message to the whole world. But then Jesus says, but wait. Wait a minute. Don't start quite yet. Well, he didn't mean that they should deny him, but that they needed something that had not yet been given to them. They needed the blessing and power of the Holy Spirit. And so he sent them back and he said, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Don't start dispersing yourselves out into the world quite yet. There's something you need, and it will soon be bestowed upon you. And that is the power of God's Spirit. And so, you need to be clothed with that power from on high. Because in the life of the church, we could pool together all our human wisdom and all our human strength. And, oh, we might make a bit of a splash, but in spiritual terms, it really wouldn't get us anywhere. without the leading and the blessing of God's Spirit. And so, as an element of spiritual power, being conscious of and relying upon the presence and work of God the Holy Spirit is essential. And we know that what has emerged from the early, very frail beginnings of the Alberton congregation has come about because of the work of the Spirit. And yes, God has gifted us in a variety of ways with a variety of resources to sustain that work. But without the presence and power of the Spirit at the heart of it all, it would surely fail or become just one more organization in the world. So, as we celebrate an anniversary and remember with gratitude the ways that God has blessed, let us also aspire to live with spiritual power, trusting the Lord to find the right path for us, and being willing to follow even if it takes us through difficult or perilous places, and being committed to that ongoing conversation with Him that is represented in our prayers. And striving with His help to reflect His glory to others. And knowing that if this is to happen with spiritual power, it will be because of the presence and work of God's Spirit. And that has been promised to us. So rejoice. We have our part to play, of course. But we can only play that part with faithfulness if we trust in the Lord. This is all good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.